I want to talk on the internet. I want to get an uprising going here.
Well, then I'm your man. I don't want to get an uprising going anymore, but I've got an audience. So, what do you want them to uprise against, and what do you want them to uprise?
I want them to feel alive. Not uprise, just feel alive and empowered. Mm. And understand that fucking, hey, it's not all about hauling the other sheep to the fucking trough.
The slaughterhouse.
True enough. I worked in one of those. First day on my job in Ottawa, the fucking slaughterhouse in Ottawa, I walk in, and my job was to put the shroud around the fucking half a cow. You know what I mean?
Shroud.
Well, it's like a blanket.
Cover its head.
Well, it covered the whole, the carcass, the head was already gone. But that was my job, was to put the shroud, or whatever I call it. And my first day on the job, buddy comes over to me, and of course they're all dressed in white, and they got blood all over them. Buddy comes over with a white helmet on his head. Everything, he says, you know what? And he pulls the cow's head out of the back, puts it on the ground, takes the axe. As you can see, I'm the head man around here. And that was my introduction to the slaughterhouse. Him pulling the brains out of fucking cow's head. Fuck off. Fucking Calgary, I did it. I was on the hide from the mob, eh? When, after my West Virginia gig, the newspaper from home came down there, wanted to interview me. I told him no. The fucking newspaper from the town, no. My lawyer says, don't, the girl's talking too much, don't you talk. So I'm telling them all, no, no, no. I get out of jail. And my lawyer gives me a bus ticket to get out of the States. He gives me a bus ticket to Windsor.
What were you in jail for that time?
That was when the girl left the baby in the church.
Okay, that's all right. We'll get to it eventually.
Oh, okay. You don't want to hear it now?
If you want, yeah, why not?
Why is it just in the middle of it?
Well, you were in there, exactly, that's what I said. We'll get to it later. No, because I'm more interested to know why you're on the run from the mob, anyway.
That's because I did that, because I pulled her out of the motel room.
Ah, well, maybe we should hear that story then. Maybe now's the time.
Well, like you asked me if I ever rescued anybody or stuck up for anyone.
Yeah.
In a sense, I was sticking up for her. I got her out of there. You know, she come to me and, please, please, I don't want my son carrying a fucking gun. I don't want my son doing this. And he had already drug her back twice.
So how did it start at the beginning then? Who was she and why did she come to you?
Well, I was the guy who brought her food. She didn't come to me.
Brought her food where?
To her motel room.
Why?
That was the only way she's getting any.
All right, but how did you know that?
Because Frank told me. Take her food.
Okay, who's Frank?
Francisco Beltre. He's a Catroni, a Sicilian.
This is when you were with the Catroni, is that?
Yeah.
So why did they want you to take her food? Who was she?
She was Frank's old lady.
Okay.
And she was a stripper that had his kid. And she wasn't running off with his kid.
They were making sure that she wouldn't run off with his kid.
With the kid,
so she was a prisoner in the hotel room.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Right, so you had to take her food.
Yeah. Not every day, but occasionally I had, And I got to know her. And one day she looked at me. She said, get me out of here. can't do this. I don't want my son. I don't want my son fucking pulling a gun on people. And I can't do this. Get me out of here. And she begged me for fucking like 3 months. So I did. And the fucking West Virginia cops put me in the elevator of the fucking prison, take me downstairs to the lobby. What am I doing here? Oh, you're not doing nothing. But look over there. There's Frank fucking staring at me. I said, oh, that's why you brought me down here, is it? Yeah? Now you can go back upstairs. They just brought me down so Frank could stare me in the eye and give me fucking one of his little goofy looks if you want me to boil me in oil.
This was after you'd helped his old lady get away.
It was when all hell broke loose. And
so how did you help her to get away? What happened?
Well, I used to take her food. And she was the prettiest little thing, eh? And she would try to talk to me, and I always knew, fuck, no, just drop the food. Just drop fucking food like you're supposed to, go. The fuck, what's so hard about that? Well, I'm a fucking man through and through, and I couldn't hear her help me, you know? Fuck, hello, hello. Just hoping for someone to fucking talk to her, you know? So I did. Well, I was supposed to. So, yeah. I went through the door a couple times. Talked to her. I got her locked up. No, no, don't leave. Finally, I had an old Matador. My old Matador is a wide-bodied old car from the 60s. But it had power steering. It had power... Power everything that they didn't have in the 60s, unless it was a big old car. It was a great old car, man. And I threw her in the car, and we went to Niagara Falls. We couldn't get over the border there, so we went to Fort Erie. Couldn't get over the border there, so we went back to fucking Niagara Falls, and they let us over, no problem. And we stopped in Pennsylvania. Some little towns, and she just went black and white on me from this to this, and I woke up in the middle of the night. She's trying to kill the baby. Antonio was his name. Stop that! Stopped her from killing herself. Drove on a little longer. Her mom had put things in the lining of her jackets. Money, had sewn things all throughout the lining of her coats because she didn't trust me either. But she didn't know what her daughter was getting into. So they sewed shit all through her clothes.
So her mother knew what was happening
then. Her mother knew that we were leaving, yeah.
Did anyone who did?
Yeah. And we traveled a ways. We got to West Virginia. We got the motel room. And I remember I was going to leave her there. It was after all the fucking the pills. It was after all the shit. And I was going to leave her. And I'm telling her, I'm just going to go get a coffee. She looked me in the eye. Don't leave me here. With that look, you know, don't. Believe me. And I couldn't, and I didn't, you know. And I couldn't leave her after that. I could never.
Cause like you, she had you under a spell?
No, no. It was my spell. It was like a don't leave me here. It was like a plea. It was.
But were you in love with her?
No, I didn't know it. You know, I took her burgers, you know.
For 3 months.
No.
But why are you risking your life then?
Because no one would ever do that for me. You know? It's a golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. And if I was in the same situation, I would really hope someone would help me. You know, It wasn't a lot, but I didn't even know her. You know, I seen a couple eyeballs through the fucking hole every now and then, until I went in the first time, you know. It wasn't love, it was, I mean, she was hot, and yeah, I wanted to fuck her, and whatever, but deep down inside, it wasn't that. It was, I'm going to help someone, I'm going to help her out of this fucking, you know. And it wasn't the first time he drug her back. You know, he drug her back fucking home twice before that. You know, the poor girl trying to run off, just trying to give her kid, you know, a shot, whether it was for the best or not, who knows, but...
How old was the kid?
2, 3. He was talking, so probably 3.
So he had some idea of what was going on?
No, he was a baby.
Some stuff.
Well, who knows?
So what happened then?
We hit West Virginia. And she's saying, well, you know, I could just leave the kid with the church, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know, fuck off, go do whatever. And I went off that way, and she went off that way. And I went and had a couple beers in the bar. And I come back to the car, she still wasn't back. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden she opens the door, jumps in, says, drive away. Well, where's Antonio? Never mind, just drive away. What'd you do? Just drive away. And I went. And then I found out that she went through confession and told the priest she was going to leave the boy there. But like I say, he could never tell the story until we got caught. Which fucked a lot of people up. Because like I say, they were coming from all over the country.
Looking for her?
Well, going, oh, that's my uncle, or that's my nephew, that's my...
Wait. So the priest, what did he do with the baby, the kid?
So he said I found him.
Okay, and so he made it public, like I found...
Well, yeah, dude, I found a baby in the pew.
Can anyone claim it, kind of thing?
Yeah, but he knew actually where it came from, but he couldn't say anything, because it was all in confession, it was all...
So why didn't he just put it up for adoption, then?
Well, it didn't get that far. I mean, in time it probably would have, but, you know, it wasn't that...
But why did he make it public? Or he didn't, he just...
What's he gonna do, just fucking find a baby in a pew and take it home and not tell no one?
Well, just take it to the... I don't know, I guess. So he just had to tell someone and then it...
Oh, of course, he's gotta tell somebody, don't he?
Yeah, okay, so I hit the papers, a small sort of...
Found a baby.
Story, a baby.
Found a baby, yeah. Can anyone recognize it? And everybody in the United States thought it was theirs. Everybody. They were coming out of the woodwork, man. That's my nephew. Oh, no. That's my grandson. Hang on a minute. You know? Oh, no. Turned out it was none of their fucking kids. It was hers in the first place.
Must have been a really cute kid.
But like, in the States, they elect everybody. You know, your judges are elected. It's not like here, they're all appointed, you know. But down there, they're elected. And they made all these statements before they knew what was going on. Because the priest couldn't tell them that she left him in my care. You know, all he could say was, I found him. Because of confession, right?
But did she say to the priest that she'd come back for him, or should just do what you want with him? I can't have
take him. I don't want him holding a gun. If you take him, no one will find him. That was her thought. She didn't want him having
so this is,
to be a fucking...
This is the only way that she could think of.
In her head, yeah.
But she also wanted just to be free of the kid, do you think?
No.
No.
She wanted to free him. Of the life she led, like she was a Montreal stripper. She, you know, that's the whole life. Montreal strippers is the whole, you know, they all hang out with mobsters. Back then, I mean, today I don't know, but I'm too old to know what's going on nowadays. But.
So, what happened then with the publicity and the rest of it? What was going on?
Oh, I sued the whole state of West Virginia, me. I sued the state.
For what?
For deprivation of, what's the word?
Defamation of character.
That's the word. Yeah.
Why, who was defaming you?
The whole state, man.
What?
I was the father, I was a kidnapper, I was a fucking...
Oh, okay, so you're jumping ahead then. What happened in between the... Everybody trying to claim the kid. You went off with the mother. What was her name?
Angel.
Angel. You went, where did, what were Angel and you doing in the meantime while all this stuff was going on with the kid?
Okay, we dump Antonio at the church, right? Then we bail. We drive away. We go for 3-4 days, and she does this white magic thing where if I do this little fucking thing, I will never be Angel again, and you and I can live happily ever after.
She did a ritual.
Yeah, oh yeah,
she
fuck yeah.
She wanted to be with you at that point?
Well, no, she just playing the game. I didn't actually believe that she wanted to be with anybody, she just wanted to be out of that situation.
Were you sleeping with her at this point?
I had. Yeah, it wasn't a daily ritual or nothing, but... Yeah, I had.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a pity thing or if it was a keep driving thing or what it was, you know. Just keep driving. You know, I don't know.
Okay. So
it wasn't a emotional gathering. Well, for me it was probably just this psycho thing, but for her it wasn't, you know.
I didn't mean it psychically.
Okay, all right, let me think about it. Being a man, everything had to end up in a fuck for me.
Right.
You know, no matter how it started, as long as I got the fuck in the end. So, yeah, that's what it was.
Right.
For me. And when I got her out of there, it wasn't a fuck thing. It was I'm helping her. Eh? But when we started traveling, it got a little... She was a stripper. But in the beginning, it had nothing to do with that. It was a girl locked in a room, man. You know, she was locked in there. Took her fucking burgers or chicken, whatever they gave me to take her to her. And in the beginning, it was an emotional thing. Get her out of here.
You know. Got to be John Wayne.
Is that you, John Wayne? Yeah, that's me. I'm here, yeah. Things change, so you know, you think it's one thing and then all of a sudden it's something else. You know, when I took her out of that fucking hotel room, it wasn't because I wanted to fuck her, it wasn't because I thought she was hot. It was because I thought I could help her. But then as time went on, it was okay, well, you're safe now. You know. You're safe now, you know, we're in West Virginia, come on. You know. Yeah, it's weird how things You become a savior to a pedophile, I don't know, stalker, I don't know what the fuck. But yeah, that's what it turned into.
But maybe that was what she wanted as well.
Well, I was trying to give her all she needed, so yeah.
Oh, it was the ritual and the white magic thing that she did.
Okay, I had to buy a white gown for her, which was like a XXX large t-shirt. I bought her. And a bottle of wine and some candles, and then she did this thing and she took the pictures that she had of her family and her rings and everything she had of her and put it all in the fucking in a pillowcase and lit it on fire, then wrapped it all up, twisted it all up and said, here, this is who I am. By morning I will not be her anymore. And she handed it to me, and I saw her put all her rings in there, so I'm thinking. And she wanted me to bury it. She said, take this and bury it. And I drove from West Virginia into Kentucky because it was raining that night, and I couldn't find a spot, so we drove into Kentucky and grabbed the first rest stop. And there was a big hill. Take this little package and bury it. And by tomorrow, I'll be a new girl. I won't even know Angie, you know. Oh, yeah, okay, baby. It's raining, so I'll just go do it. You just hang in the car. So, yeah, I run out of the car. I pretend I dig a hole. I go back. Okay, I dug the hole. Where's the stuff? Yeah, okay, yeah. Give me the stuff. Okay, I'll be back in a minute. Pretended to run up to this hole in the pouring fucking rain and put this package, which was supposed to be hers, so that she could be someone else the next day. I put it in the trunk instead because I saw the ring she put in there, and man, they may come in handy later. So I put them in the trunk and wake up the next day, and holy fuck, she's the same girl she was the day before.
Alright, because I didn't bury the stuff.
Maybe. She'd agree with you, probably. But she didn't know it till after we got busted when they come to the motel room. Phone fucking rings. Nobody there. Pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. Open it up. She's in the bathroom. Cameras come in, cops. So they arrest us. I told Buddy, I said, listen, if you find a package in the trunk with rings and stuff, don't tell her you found that. I mean, it's her shit and stuff, but she thinks I buried it in Kentucky. You know, she thinks it's in Kentucky at this rest stop. She can go pick it up later. But don't. And he never did. He never mentioned it to her. He never said a fucking word that he found these rings and shit in the trunk of the car.
He probably got them.
Yeah, he did. But I told him, I said, please. Things are bad enough, man. Don't tell her I never buried that shit. Because I'll be in big time trouble.
Did you ever feel bad about that? Like, not.
I'm a sociopath. Stuff. I have no conscience, eh?
Well, yeah. But I mean, this is like messing with somebody's white magic ritual. Like,
I have no conscience. That's one of the things I said about my... When I read my file. He has no conscience. He don't care about what he does. He has no conscience. He's a sociopath. Oh, yeah. Angie. And I... Years later, I go back to Kingston, Ontario, and I fucking... And I join a pool league, right? And I play pool every week with the league like a normal human, trying to be a normal fucking human being, right? And so every week we played at a different bar, the pool league. So don't I land in this fucking bar in Kingston? And who's the waitress?
Was Angel.
Waiter comes over and says, excuse me, you gotta leave. So what are you talking about? Well, I don't really know, but you seem to be upsetting the fucking waitress girl over here, and she ran out the fucking door and up the stairs, and she was, I don't know why you have to leave, she won't tell us, but yeah, she don't seem to think she can work with you in the building. Like, oh man.
But did you spot her?
Oh, she spotted me as soon as I come in.
Yeah, but did you spot her?
Had I seen her? Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So you didn't wave it or anything?
Oh no, I tried. I got to play my pool league, and I'm trying to do one of these, you know. Oh no, she picked me out right off the bat.
How long after was that?
No, year and a half or so.
So I mean, what happened? How did it resolve in the end? I mean, what did Frank? Did he find the kid?
It's never resolved. Kingston OPP. No, Kingston fucking RCMP picked me up. Hey, listen, we want to put you in the witness protection program. So what are you talking about? Well, we know all the stuff you're involved in, and we know that some people want to talk to you, and maybe you'd be better off if we... I said, oh yeah? You think you can take care of me better than I can take care of fucking me? Fuck off. You can drop me off in the next fucking corner. Are you sure? Oh, yeah, I'm fucking sure. Well, I don't think you are. And they drove me back downtown, took me inside, said, listen, Frank, Francisco Valtry wants you. Frank Catroni is really upset about him, and they're laying out all the fucking scenarios that could be, possibly be. And I said, you know what? All those things you just told me could never happen. And if any of them ever did, it would just be a godsend to me, and I don't know fucking nothing. Well, you know what? If we let you go, you're going to be in danger for the rest of your fucking life. I said, fuck, I breathe danger. Fuck off. then they let me go. And I was more scared after that than I ever was my whole life. But...
So did you go into hiding?
Yep. I hid in West Virginia for a year, man.
And did Frank ever find the kid?
Nope. Well, no, he didn't have to find him. They brought Antonio back. And they put her in Kingston in a house with too many eyes on it that anything would ever happen. Today, I don't know whatever happened. This was a long time ago. This was 20 years ago, man.
So it didn't change anything in the end?
Who knows? Maybe it did.
But
we got to think best, don't we?
As far as you could see, like, from the surface
think,
situation.
I don't know. I mean, fuck, who knows? I mean, you know, a year and a half later, he could have come in and killed the both of them. I don't know.
So what was the defamation of character business?
Well, they started calling me a deadbeat dad and that I was stealing babies and fucking transporting them across, hey? The government.
Because you were taken to trial for this?
Yeah.
For kidnapping?
In the beginning it was black market babies, in the beginning.
Okay, well, so the cops found you right after the ritual, yeah?
It was like... 4 days after we dropped Antonio off.
Okay. And so why were the cops looking for you? Because Frank had pulled some strings? Or?
No, who dumped the baby off in the church?
Well, yeah, but how did they trace that back to you? Through the priest?
Through my car and fucking... Because they had the car, fucking Ontario plates, fucking...
So then they were just looking for the parents of the baby?
Yeah.
They weren't looking for like a criminal man.
So and they were making comments about all this stuff before they found out what it was all about.
I see. So they found you, and all they knew was that you and the woman had dumped a baby in a church. They didn't know anything else.
And when they found me, they still thought I was the dad.
Right. Yeah. And then when they found out that you weren't, what did you tell them to begin with?
Well, I'm the driver.
So what, you don't know nothing?
I'm the driver. I got paid to drive.
So what did she tell them?
Same thing.
Well, he's the driver. Yeah, but what did she tell them about the kid and why?
Oh, well, she told him that she was running from Frank for the third time, and she didn't want him fucking raised in that atmosphere, and she was terrified. And
telling the truth. So then... At what point did they start accusing you of kidnapping?
Well, that all come because the fucking we dumped the child off, and all the priest could say was we just found him, and that's when everybody else made the comments about kidnapping. Everyone else made the comments about fucking black market babies. That's, you know, the sheriffs and everyone are elected, and before they knew what was going on, they made comments on how we're going to get these. You know, and fucking just run me down before they even had a chance. And when they had a chance to change their mind, because they're elected, they didn't change their mind. Because if they did, they wouldn't be elected again. So after they finally got us and the priest was able to say, this is what did happen, because now she's here and I can say what happened in confession. They still wouldn't back down from me being a fucking selling babies, trying to fucking, they still wouldn't back down. You know, and like I say, the priest knew everything until we got busted, and then he come out and told them all. And by then, they didn't want to retract what they had already said.
So they were making public statements about this.
Before it even happened, before they got up with us.
And then once they knew who you were and your name was in
the papers, they couldn't retract. Then so they couldn't retract this, you know, to get another election, to get reelected. They pushed, man. They fucked.
So they were trying to use you as the fall guy, then?
Well, because of the remarks they made before, They even tried harder after we were caught to cover their tracks, and their, you know, they couldn't come out and say, oh fuck, I didn't know what I was saying, Well, it turns out these are just really good people, and, you know.
So, but then you were actually going to be tried for
market babies
and kidnapping?
And that I was tried.
It went to trial?
Yeah. And in the end, my lawyer trying to sue him, all the state fucking representatives leave the state. They're all of a sudden, they're all on holiday somewhere. So nobody can say anything. And my lawyer's contacting the governor saying, hey, 3 days. You got 3 days, I want a response. We're going to sue you people. And I hired my lawyer with a dollar. I go into a room, he says, so you're the father of the child? I'm your appointed lawyer. No, I'm not a father. I'm appointed for the father. You're the father. I said, no, I'm the fucking driver. Hang on a minute. You're not the father, you're not anything. No. Well, then I'm not your lawyer. It's okay. You got any money? No. Here, take this. Hands me a dollar. Okay. He says, you know what I'd do if I had a dollar? I don't know. He said, you know what I'd do? I'd hire a lawyer. So you want to be my lawyer? Okay. And takes his dollar back. So you know what? I'm just new in town. I've been here about a year and a half. I don't owe anybody any favors. And I'm going to fucking work for you as hard as I can.
So then
he was a godsend, him, man. I'll tell you right now, man.
So he sued the... He attempts to sue the people who are accusing you.
The state, the West Virginia, yeah.
The state. So then there would have been two trials going on.
Well, no. I don't know what happened after. I was in... By the time I got off my charges and got out of the state, he took care of it. I was in Vancouver while he was trying to do that.
Well, I guess he didn't succeed then.
I told him, it's just too much bullshit, I can't come there, never mind.
But then, I mean, how could you be hiding out from Frank if you were, like, his public personality was going on trial and all the rest of it? It would have been very easy to think.
Well, Frank's in Montreal.
But if
trials
really
are... Well, Frank came to West Virginia. Frank lived in West Virginia for a month and a half.
But did you ever get a sense that he was trying to have you killed?
I always knew he was going to try and have me killed.
Well, how come he didn't succeed then, or at least come close? He's the mobster, right?
Yeah. Catch me if you can. I mean, if somebody stays still long enough, you know, in stagnant water, you can always find a germ or two. But I never stayed still long enough for anybody to fucking...
But while you were on trial, wouldn't you have to stay?
I was in jail. Like, he could get at me in that little fucking, little hick town jail.
Okay, so you're in jail until the court case, and then when you're acquitted, you just vanished.
I sold my story to the Kingston Whig Standard. They come down to the prison to interview me, and my lawyer says, no, no, no. Don't talk to nobody. She's talking enough. Don't talk to nobody. So I go to jail and he gives me a bus ticket to Windsor, Ontario. That'll get you out of here. Get out of the country. After that, I don't give a fuck what you do, he says. So I get off the fucking the bus in Windsor. And what am I going to do? Fuck, I got no money. Frank's on my ass. Fuck, what am I going to do? I got to get money. So I phoned the Kings and Wings Standard, the newspaper. I said, listen, hey, this is me. Okay? You got some questions? This is what I need. You want some answers? I'll give you answers. But this is what I need. So they paid me fucking $300 and gave me a bus ticket to Vancouver. I'm in London, Ontario. And I go to London Free Press. And I do the interview over the phone to the Kingston Whig Standard. Because they had come to West Virginia to interview me. And I answered the questions. And it's there were no answers that they didn't already have. They already knew these answers, but they're asking me anyway. There was other stuff they could have asked me, and I would have told them, but they didn't ask, so I didn't tell them. I'm an honest guy. If you ask me, I'll tell you anything. And, the fuckers, give me my money and the bus ticket. And they put in the newspaper exactly where I was going. Oh, yeah, by the way, Chris gave us this interview, and we had to give him a bus ticket to fucking... You know what I did? I beelined it back over and come back to the States. I said, yeah, I'm on my way to Vancouver. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Took the fucking ticket, sold it, and I came back to fucking States. I didn't go where they fucking told everybody I was going. They put it right in the newspaper. Yeah. For fucking, what, compensation for this interview or however they stated it, I can't remember. We had to pay him $300 and a bus ticket to Vancouver because I got back into Canada. I didn't have nothing. Couldn't turn to my family. Couldn't turn to nobody. I had to phone my family. Hey, hey, Steve, how you doing? Yeah. Hey, listen, you get any weird phone calls or, you know, cars hanging out in front of your door? You know, you don't know me, okay? Hey, just, all right, Steve, thanks. Yeah, Lori. Yeah, Lori. Hey, how are you? Yeah, hey. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I haven't called in a long time. You know, if you get any weird phone calls or stuff, you know, you don't know me, okay? You know, it's... No, no, it's not a big deal, no. No, but you just... No, you're not related to me. No, you don't know me. And I do that with my whole fucking family, eh? Hey, Anna Evelyn, look, hey. You know, I know you know better. I know you're smart and everything, but just don't give no one my phone number and stuff, okay? You know, and I had to do that with every family member.
So how long were you hiding there?
2 years. Then I went back to Montreal. And I walked right into Wanda's strip joint. Which was a funny thing, because that was the first fucking strip joint I was ever in. Frank, you're looking for me, here the fuck I am. Oh, yeah, I know, I walked into his fucking place. I walked right in. But I know. Fucked up big time, I don't know what the fuck, blah, 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 blah. Never come back to Montreal, as I always said.
Have you been back?
Oh, yeah. He knew I could get him in more shit than he could get me in.
Not if you were dead.
Well, he never on the ball through that. He could never do that.
So he was a mobster.
I mean, you could kill.
No, but you can have other people kill for you.
There's not a lot of difference between having the knife in your hand and putting it in someone's hand. There's not a big gap in there.
You don't think so? Could you just give someone the order and never hear anything about it?
If you give me the knife to kill your wife, how would you feel bad about me killing your wife? Would you feel responsible? Same idea. He was a mobster, you know, but to be able to say, all right, and he never had the power to do it.
So then he wasn't trying to get it killed for those 2 years.
If he could do it on his own, he could have had someone do it. Sure, if he wanted to.
Who do you think he did?
I was more worried about his uncle than him.
Why were you more worried about his uncle?
Because his uncle would. Him, I wasn't too worried about. He wouldn't say the final word. You know, but yeah. Fucking Benny Esposito. Benny Esposito would take me out in a minute. know, and you walk through a town like this, you know, and you see all these big fat guys wandering around. But in my world, those are the guys who are the most dangerous. And, you know, you always see these fat. Those are the guys that'll take you out. Those are the guys that ain't gonna worry about fucking burying you in the fucking in the cellar out back. The big fat. Those are the dangerous guys. You'll fucking ever forget it. Some little skinny kid mouthing off at the bar. You don't have to worry about him. It's his uncle. He's sitting over there in the corner smoking a big cigar going. He's the one who'll laugh when they fucking cut your fucking. Benny Esposito, what a hoot. He's a Philadelphia mobster, Benny Esposito. And I used to date this girl, Joan Nicholson was her name. She wanted me to watch him in Atlantic City, because he always had lots of money on him. And,
So you ever wonder, probably a bit kind of a weird question, but I'm weird like that. Do you ever wonder if you had, if you'd buried that stuff like she'd asked if things would have gone differently?
I think I did a couple times early on, you know, when it first happened, after we come back. But I haven't, no.
You don't believe in that kind of switchcraft?
Yeah, I do, but not in that case. I've had to. Everything has an origin, you know. And the things that come from that, I don't think anything bad ever came from that.
Well, what if she was really trying to make a new start with you? Is that possible?
No, no.
You didn't believe that?
No, no. I was a driver. In my eyes and in hers, I mean, I fucked her on the trip and stuff, but no, it was a girl in desperation, and I wasn't happy with the situation I was in the first fucking place, and it was just a way out for me too, you know, to try and get out, try to, I don't know what I was trying to do. I don't know what I was trying to do. I think I was just trying to do that superhero fucking thing again, man.
Did you do it again?
Yeah. I would not hesitate. Not a fucking, no. I'd even be more anxious to do it right now than I was then, because I was young and. Right now, if some girl asked me to help her like that, I'd have no problem.
Would you bury the bundle and stuff?
I'd bury him, too. I would fucking...
Who?
No, I mean... No, she ain't burying nothing. You come with me. You want to be rescued? Come on. Let's go play over here for a year or two. You start your life, I'll start mine. You know, we don't have to be a couple. But I would gladly...
It's the kind of fantasy that, I don't know about most kids, but I know I had those kind of fantasies as a kid. Exactly, more or less what we described. You know, beautiful woman in trouble, I'm the only one who can help her.
Oh, what is that?
Helping her means that I get to fuck her.
That Rapunzel thing?
I don't know about Rapunzel, but I know that I...
Well, the girl in the tower, you know, hair hanging down, you know.
Right.
help me, you know. But you know, today, just being who I am today, I know that I would never hesitate. If some girl come to me, please, can you get me out of here? I would drop everything I'm doing just to do that.
What if she was fat and ugly and had
don't make no fuck, don't make no difference to me.
Doesn't make a difference if you dislike to personally. Why would you stick your neck out to help somebody?
No. Back in the old days, looks would matter, but now it would be just because puck, it's the right thing to do.
Well, is it always? I mean, if somebody needs your help, you're always going to give it.
It's not always the right thing to do. Just because they want help. Of course not. But if you're running away from a situation where your kids are fucking involved, and yeah, I'll help you. It might not be helping you, but it'll get you out of the situation you're in. If I can take you away from that lifestyle and put you in, even if it's a homeless lifestyle, it's better than the fucking one you're in, and it's easier to get out of than the one you were in. So if I can take you out of that and put you wherever I can, I would never hesitate to. I would stand up to anyone. You know, if a woman asked me for help, it wouldn't matter who was there. Wouldn't matter. You asking me for help? Okay. I'm your help. Whether we both die in the end or not, I would never hesitate. No, I have no regrets over that at all. I regret that I had to phone my family and tell them that they, you know, half of them knew what I was talking about, the other half just thought I was still crazy. But my brother knew, my brother fucking knew, and my sister, but a few other relatives, they just thought I was outside. Well, that's just Chris. Talk on the internet. I want to get an uprising going here.
Well.